It's sometime in late September of 1705. We're in North Africa, and a man named Melek is found guilty of plotting a rebellion against Moulay Ismail, the Sultan of Morocco. Melek is a local governor, also known as an alcaide, but his rank won't save him. And although the leader of this rebellion was none other than the Sultan's own son, Moulay Mohammed, Alcaide Melek has been a busy boy. According to the Sultan's wife, Mr. Melek had taken advantage of the chaos and had beheaded a man named Bukasra, the cousin of the Sultan. All this was very serious stuff, and naturally, the Sultan was incensed to find a punishment brutal enough to fit the crime and send a message to anyone else who feels like stepping out of line. The Sultan takes his time coming up with a fitting execution method. By October that year, he finally has an idea. He sends for his carpenter and asks the tradesman if he has any saws in his collection that would be capable of sawing a man in two. The carpenter responds with a yes, and Sultan Moulay has his method. He sends the carpenter away, along with the sons of Bukasra, the man that Melek had beheaded, and tells them to select the tools they'd need for the job, and then collect Melek himself from his cell. Meanwhile, the Sultan had gathered a crowd of some 4,000 spectators, most of which made up of Melek's supporters and family, and then he had his prisoner escorted to the execution site on the back of a mule. Once he arrived at the site, the crowd had already worked themselves up into a bit of a mess. Many of them knew Melek personally and were supportive of his actions so far. The audience were crying, screaming and clawing at their faces with grief as they saw their governor slowly making his way towards his end. Melek, on the other hand, who doesn't yet know the method of his execution, is reported to have been almost completely unperturbed by the whole affair, and it's said that he was calmly enjoying a smoke from his tobacco pipe as he inched towards his death. Once he arrived at the square, he was strapped to a board with his arms and legs fastened outwards, and then once secured, he was placed upon a saw bench and shown the large tools that were intended to be the means of his end. It is said that once he felt the teeth of the saw touch his skull, his composure broke, and he began screaming and straining against the restraints in order to try and avoid this unimaginable fate, as the saw teeth first found purchase in the hair, which would be torn out with each stroke, before the scalp became ground down in the teeth, and finally, the skull itself would be ground down, stroke by stroke. However, for Melek, it must have seemed as though fate intervened and his begging and pleading, as well as the commotion of the crowd, had forced the Sultan to reconsider this extreme act of cruelty. He heard a voice amongst the executioners ring out and a short conversation between the Sultan and his team ensued. The saw was then taken away before it had so much as even harmed a hair on Melek's head. But unfortunately, this was no act of mercy. The conversation had actually been between the Sultan and the sons of Bukasra, the man that Melek had beheaded, and they had intervened to complain that starting the process at the head would result in a death that was far too easy, and they insisted that the sawing instead begin between the legs to maximise the suffering. With this, Melek's wave of relief was suddenly dashed into a crescendo of horror as he was turned upside down, and then the saw was reapplied to his body, this time not at the top of the head, but between the legs and in the groin. With this act, the method met with everybody's approval, and the executioners were given permission to begin their work. A regular carpentry job, taken to its cruelest possible incarnation. With one man standing at either side of Melek, each one holding an end of the saw, they began to push and pull the blade towards and away from one another, dragging the teeth of the saw across whatever piece of Melek the teeth were able to first latch onto. With each shove of the blade, the saw sank slightly deeper, the cries grew more desperate, and the crowd began to cover their eyes to avoid seeing the horrific display. After tearing into the delicate flesh around that very sensitive area, The teeth of the saw would have effortlessly torn through the muscle, fat and skin, until finally embedding itself into the bone, which would create a sound not unlike that of wood under a saw. A shk shk would have echoed across the square, intermingled with desperate screams of agony and hopeless cries for mercy. To quote an eyewitness, chunks of flesh were ripped out by the saw's teeth, causing blood to splatter everywhere, thus making the execution quite unbearable to watch. Once the saw had managed to grind its way through the pelvis, it would then follow the spinal column, causing unimaginable pain as the large concentration of nerves are torn away from the flesh and bone. And then finally, as the stomach begins to open, large parts of the digestive tract come loose and dangle down onto the victim. Let us not forget that saws don't work by cutting and slicing the flesh like a sword or an axe would, but instead, they work by creating a countless series of tears, one on top of the other, one tooth at a time, which collectively carve out a path through the victim. For Melek, who would now have his face caked in his own blood and entrails, death should have been imminent, with most executions by sawing ending once the blade reaches the chest cavity and begins to obliterate the heart and lungs. Unfortunately for him, however, the spite of his executioners would know no bounds, and it's reported that once the teeth of the blade rested at his belly button, the sawmen were instructed to stop immediately and leave the wretch to hang and suffer for a while longer. Melek, who was still conscious at this time, is reported to have requested a glass of water by this stage, but was predictably refused. After it was deemed that he had suffered enough, the saw was removed and then placed underneath Melek's head so that they could begin to saw from the other direction until they met the previous incision, which would effectively split the man in two. Within a few strokes of the sawing to the head, Melek finally expired, but the horror show wasn't over. Around 300 other co-conspirators were impaled alive, and some 20 people who were accused of lesser betrayals also got a taste of the saw, although they were fortunate, if you can call it that, to have just individual limbs amputated rather than be completely sawn in half. Brutal as this method of execution is, though, it's not unique to Morocco or the 18th century. The Roman Emperor Caligula was said to be extremely fond of sawing his victims in two, and would often put on this depraved display during mealtimes, supposedly in order to entertain his guests and set the tone for the meal. Imperial China was also renowned for its creative use of punishments, especially by sawing, although typically they would saw through the victims horizontally, across the torsos, rather than vertically through them, which would typically be less painful and would result in a much faster death for the victim. Several early Christian martyrs are also said to have perished by the saw, perhaps most famously being Simon the Zealot, who was sawn in half in a way similar to Melek, as can be seen in this illustration by Lucas Cranach. And then as late as the 19th century, during the incredibly brutal events of the Hungarian Revolution, some 4,000 Serbs committed some pretty awful crimes against the Hungarian civilian populace, including executions by fire and, predictably, lots of people being sawn in two. So, in all reality, this brutal method of execution was probably invented about 10 minutes after the saw itself was invented, and we can only hope that in our modern world we can continue to keep the saw's use for practical and building purposes, and for the love of God, steer clear of using this tool on other people. In the meantime, try not to upset any carpenters.